I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All the things we now are seeing every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when these things shall be. Just be ready, be watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these we never have, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these we now are having, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. I cannot forget the day when I heard my Savior say, come to me, my child, and make me whole. Then I let my Savior in. He forgave me all my sin. Started a fire burning so bright way down in my soul. It's never gone out. It's never gone out. Oh, Satan has tried many times to make me die. And when I feel that warmth inside, I know that my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Since Jesus kindled the flame, things have been changed, now I'm not the same. He lit the fire with his great eternal love.
In my soul now there is peace. a joy that will never, never cease. Thank God for holy fire from heaven above.
It's never gone out, it's never gone out.
Though Satan has tried
many times to make me doubt, but when I feel that warmth inside, I know that my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Since Jesus kindled the flame, things have been changed, no, I'm not the same. He lit the fire with His great eternal love. Down in my soul now there is peace, a joy that will never, never cease. Thank God for holy fire from heaven above. It's never gone out, it's never gone out. Though Satan has tried many times to make me doubt, but when I feel that warmth inside, I know that my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. It's never gone out, it's never gone out. Though Satan has tried many times to make me doubt, but when I feel that warmth inside, I know that my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out.
Well, that's the story of my life. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. I was in a very bad state for about 10 years, a backslidden state, where that fire was just barely burning. I got married, and then in the early, late 80s, early 90s, I was miserable, man, a little. Nothing more miserable than a believer in a backslidden state, not doing nothing for the Lord. Here I was, just being born again, but not doing nothing for the Lord. And then I guess the Lord saw my need, and started working me over. And one day my whole world just came collapsing on me. My son lost his fingers. My other son got lost in the forest. My daughter had a deadly ear infection. All my world came caving in. I was near the Lord. I tried to pray, didn't mean nothing. There's nothing worse than being alienated from God. And then somehow the Lord came by and He just woke me up, so to speak. Give me a scripture. Seek the Lord while He may be found. I was alienated from the Lord. And then the Lord came down and kindled that fire, and I never looked back. And then He wanted me to go up and expose that Hutterite spirit was driving that religious system. Then He got us to go after all these religious systems. And that's our job. Expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Believe you me. And it's a pretty challenging job. You're going to be ousted. But before the Lord give me that commission, He said, they'll take everything away from you. Give me your children and I'll take care of them. Because when my world came caving in and my son got lost in the forest, I realized there's nothing you can do for your children. There's nothing you can do to protect them. The only thing you can do for them is go about the Lord's business, and He'll take care of things. And that's what He's done for the last 30, 40 years. There's nothing I can do, you know. And that's where we are today, just doing whatever the Lord wants us to do. Finally, we're at that place where all is prayed for. Find my place in Christ. That's what we're about. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of love. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Christ the blessed one gives to all, wonderful words of love. Sailor list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of love. Often pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of love. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify us forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of love. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Heavenly Father, we just want to stop for a moment in time just to look into your word, Lord, and just to see what you have for us this morning, Lord. We give you thanks for the many things you've done for us, Lord, throughout time. How you've protected us and guided us and led us and guided us with dead of your eyes, Lord. You've given us abundantly more than we ever deserve, Lord. We just want to take time out to praise you, worship you, and express our gratitude, Lord, for many things you've done for us in life. We just pray you'll continue to do it as you fit. Use us for your honor, for your glory. Allow us to say the things that you put in our hearts, Lord. Most of all, Lord, we pray you'll anoint it, gift it, and increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I was thinking yesterday how, like, how good you and I really have it. And I was wondering why we have it so good. Like, yeah, you got your trials and your tribulations, and they're for only one purpose, to bring us, really, to bring us to where we are now. And he got us out of that Babylonian captivity, that Egyptian darkness that we were in, and these religious cults and these unright systems and these religious systems. And I think it was finally 2010, 12, when he finally got us out of these. They were all religious cults, no matter how you paint it up, no matter how good it makes it look. It just controlled behind it is the spirit of Satan, because he can infiltrate these systems, because all he has to do is infiltrate the leadership, and then the leadership controls that whole mechanism. Like, you've got that Hutterite colony infiltrated now, and he controls that Leonard and these tugs of the committee, and they think they're doing God a service when they got that commune thing going, and I got thousands of people under their watch, under their umbrella, but there's really nothing there. It's just culty, because the Satan is the head on it. Satan controls it behind the scenes. You really don't know it, because it's all about deception. And finally the Lord got us out of there. Sure, it took him 30, 40 years, but finally he set our feet on a solid rock, brought us out of the miry clay. And I was thinking yesterday, as I watched you doing your stuff, making your stuff over there, how free you really are. You're so free, you know. You're free from religion. You're free from having to go out in the workforce and punch in your 8 hours a day thing. We got it better than a king, better than a queen. Got no headaches, no problems. The Lord is taking care of things, and he's... no matter where you look, up, down, sideways, and this side and that side, nothing but the mercy and the grace of God, how he's blessed us, simply because we have been obedient. When he called on me to go up and expose that Hutterite thing, I was obedient, no matter, even though it cost me everything, even though I became a vagabond overnight. I was, back then, I was not a happy camper. I was not where I am today. I didn't know what's going to happen, what this is all about, because I was just as ignorant as anybody. I was steeped in that religious system. But somehow the Lord got a hold of me, and I happened to be listening, and they began to deal with me through his word, and to seek the Lord while he may be found, and things like that. And then he came to speak to me, saying, I'm coming soon, and things like that, how he has coached me in life. And I'm just a matter of being obedient, really. That's what he wants to do with everybody. But see, we get that rebellious nature, and still fighting with it. That there's rebellion in each one of us, and it comes inherited from the choice that Adam and Eve made back in the garden when they chose to follow Satan. And we inherited all that garbage, all that has been accumulated back through time when these angels and Jude, they were given an estate. They were given a job to do. They were given a place in God. And they left that estate. And then you can read it over in Jude. And then you can read it in Peter. What happens when you leave your God-given estate? You're gonna be doing sin. You're going to sin. That's what happened. And I think it's in Jude, the angel that kept not their first estate. And then in Peter, it says the angel that sinned. Of course, you're going to end up sinning. And God had to bring judgment on, because they rebelled against God. And that's the nature that we inherited from all these millions and millions of years of this rebellion that's in the human nature. And that, like I say, God made man back in the garden, he gave him a choice, and he chose Satan's way. And we inherited all that. And mm-hmm. We come into this world, we absolutely have nothing. We got no estate, we got no compass, we got no salvation. We are completely lost and undone, just like that planet when God came down. And then the planet, in the beginning God created the the earth, and the earth was without form and void. That's how we come into it. Form and void. Absolutely void of any Christian principles, any value, any spiritual value of any kind. And that's how we were born. And this world, by this time, goes on, and the Lord somehow came by our way, and He gave us eternal life. We repented of our sin, and then He started working on our spiritual being. The natural man has absolutely no value for spiritual things. He's just lost and undone. He's just null and void, just like the flint was when God started putting His light on it, and the Spirit of God began to move upon it, and then He said, "Let there be light," and then there was a 6,000-year process before He finally could make the planet habitable again. That's how it does with us. It takes Him a lifetime to get us to a place where we can finally say, "Lord, use me for Your glory." That's how He's done with our life. We're prime example of that. We're just trying to do here now. He's blessed us simply because we've worked our way. We've been obedient. He coached us out of that religious system. And today we can go back and we can expose it. We can tell people what it's about. It's nothing but satanic Satanism. It's not of God. Just that simple. What we got here is of God. Completely free from all that religious filth and all these deceptions and all this stuff that's out there. From these zealots, you know. It's all really what it is. A bunch of zealots trying to tell us what to do, what to think, and how to live and how not to live.
Yeah, nothing good comes without suffering first. Undergoing all the suffering and the pain and the trials to come to that place, because it's impossible to gain that understanding and that knowledge without having to go through the fire of something in order to understand something. Going through your life as a Hutterite and then realizing very young that system of religion is not it. There's something that's not right here. And then God puts you through a journey to expose it, to understand what it's really about. And it's a process until you come to that place where you're free from all the things that burden you down and oppress you. And it takes a journey, just like I was thinking about Jacob yesterday when he came before Pharaoh. And finally all of his days were, and the last of his days, he came before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked him how old he was. And he said, "The days of the years of my pilgrims are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." He wasn't quite as old as his fathers, but when you look through the life of Joseph, how God had, Jacob, how God had to mold his life. First he had to flee from Esau up to Laban, and he had to slave away from him for 20 years, and then he finally was relieved of his duties there, and he came into moved south, and then his sons, they caused him all kinds of grief. They totally annihilated a tribe because of what they had done to Dinah, and then they sold his son to the Egyptians, and then it was like a very hard life for Jacob. But in the end, he came and reconciled with Joseph again and was able to live in Goshen. He had good years. And through all the things that he suffered, he learned a lot. See, the things we walk through in life are only there to teach us something. Like if I wouldn't have gone through the agony that I did younger, realizing that Hutterite system of religion, it's not the way to heaven. And it was a process of finding what is that way to heaven. And slowly the Lord walked me through it all. And He came by my way when I was 21. And He saved me. And for 7 more years I was on that Hutterite system until I came to the righteousness of my day and hour. And then the Lord took me off that system of religion and slowly walked me through what these religions are all about, and to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. They only have unfruitful works of darkness, and that's all they can produce. They can never give you anything. And I know it for myself. Those systems of religion cannot give you anything. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you let Him lead your life. Otherwise, you're never going to find anything.
It's very simple for you and I. One time that we come to the mountaintop, but there was a time when I was not a, I tell you, I was not a happy camper, not because I didn't know what's going on. I just had a guiding light leading me, and one day I had kind of a, in my spirit, I saw myself running down a deep, dark valley. You couldn't even, it was so deep and dark down there, and then once I got down there, everything was lush and green, and that's what my life has been. I have not been always the happy camper like I am now. I didn't always have it as glorious as I have now when I look around and how good we have it. And it keeps getting better and better. If it gets any much better, you'll have to take us out of here into that heavenly glory. And, but that's as far as when you look around the world, how people are being killed and they're not saved, and things that they have to go through in life, and here we are just completely compared, just completely under the shadow of His wings, simply because we have allowed the Lord to do with us as he sees fit. We've allowed Him to lead and guide us by His Spirit. He told me to go up and speak, no matter what He called. I went up and spoke for Him, and for telling people the truth, guess what they do? They do exactly what they did to Moses. God sent Moses to the Israelites, get him out of Egyptian bondage, and when he did, they wanted to stone him. And the same with Jesus. He came to help mankind. What did they do? They crucified him. Here's the same thing. There's a price to pay for standing up for truth and for righteousness, and that's exactly what they've done to us. They butchered us and slaughtered us and shunned us and done everything they could. And I'm not complaining, because when I read the Bible, when I read the scripture, Peter said, "Don't think it's strange when these fiery darts come against you," because that's just the way it is. That's just the way the program goes. Jesus said that's what you're going to have to go through in life. You're going to have to be persecuted. You're going to have to be shunned. But he said, "I'm going to take care of things. That known hair of your head is going to fall without Him knowing." And we are now at that place, you and I are, where we're completely free from these religious tugs, from these workers of iniquity. I don't like saying it, but I have to say it over and over again to expose them. They think they're doing God a service, that Joe from Cyprus and that Leonard from Delta and all these religious tugs and all these zealots, they really think they're doing God a service. But that whole religious canopy, that whole religious system has turned into exactly what the Bible says, the finished product. The final finished product of this has evolved into a cage and a hole of every foul and hateful bird. Satan in there has themselves a heyday, and people don't even know. They're thinking they're doing God a service. It's all these religions out there. I was listening to that John Hagee yesterday, and he was just a giver, and man, can that man ever preach? And I felt at one time I might even have to go and apologize for saying the things I'm doing about these religious systems. But man, he had the people in tears, and he had them clapping, and if you really get into it, then all of a sudden he stopped preaching. I got the wrong page, he said. See, he's just reading out of a script. But he has a voice, and he has charisma, and he has a way of moving, getting the people into this emotional, spiritual frenzy. And all of a sudden, he pitched his page, and instead of doing one page, he pitched over two pages, and his script didn't make sense. I said, And I was watching it, huh, man? Like, that's just when I, man, I might even have to apologize the way he's preaching. Oh, I missed the script here. I missed the page. See, he's just reading out of a script. But the fact that he has the charisma and all that stuff, and then...
Well, in order to deceive people, they have to be pretty good.
Yeah, he was reading out of somebody that wrote, and just the fact that he has all this, the charisma, you know, and the voice and all the... Everything is just good. And then I watched, and then, oh, he made a slip. He's reading out of a script. And then he said some other things. He said, then they go into this emotional frenzy to the Billy Graham program, you know, get people so emotionally worked up that if you come down here for prayer, we'll pray for you because the rapture can happen anytime. Well, there's a flat-out lie right there. The rapture cannot happen until the stewardess is killed. And now they got a thing out, the rapture will come on September 25th. And I kept saying, I'm just as guilty too. I kept saying the rapture will happen. I did put it down. I left a clause in there. I said it cannot happen until the prophets, those two witnesses are killed. And Brother Jackson left a clause in there too when he said 2004 is going to be the end of the grace. He said, he covered himself. He said, but if the calendar is right, well, we found out the calendar is out exactly 17 years. It's 7 years. 17 years too far ahead. You got to subtract 17 years from 2025, and that's exactly where we are in calendar time. And things like that. Mm-hmm. And we were spot on. And then, like I say, he was just a giver, and he just, it's emotional. He got these people so worked up. So, and then that scripture came to me. Even if it would be possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And he's got these thousands of people. I think he had 1,000 people in his congregation. And then there's tens of thousands all around the world listening to him. And they believe him, and they get this emotional thing going. And then he calls them down for prayer and receive the Lord. And then you're saved. Then no matter if the rapture happened, you're going in the rapture if you can only believe what he's saying. And it's all built on emotions, and it only lasts for until, you know, just like when you get alcohol, you know, the beer, you open the cap, and then eventually the thing goes out, you know, the fizz goes out, or like a Pepsi, after a while it's flat. That's all that thing produces. It's got no staying power because it's all man-made. It's all built on emotions. Of course, he raises thousands and thousands of dollars to keep his mechanism going and all that. And then he uses Israel
to promote his stuff
and pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. And then when he was done, I thought, wow, how deceptive, how slick and deceptive. But I had my radar on when I saw, oh, Mr. Page. You see, it's just a script, and it's just a script. Somebody that out there behind it is the spirit of Satan to deceive the masses. He knows exactly how the wording goes. And then they got this guy that was trained and everything in a seminar, because the devil checks these things out, and he knows exactly who he can get. And he's fed as a pig, you know. Oh, man, is that guy heavy. And why doesn't he do it? The Lord dealing with us to lose weight and to fast and all that thing.
And he's got a lot of good programs going, like hope for this, hope for that, like schools and pregnancy, where the women that are pregnant, that they would not have an abortion and give up their children for adoption and things like that. It is really a good run, good looking show.
A mechanism, yeah.
And you would really think he is really something. But the thing of it is, when you have, we've made hard choices in life. And those hard choices led us to where we are today. The choice to stand up against these religious systems and against wrong teachings. And these things that have led us where we are today. Like, we couldn't just go along with the Hutterite religion because there was it didn't line up with the scripture. That's what the problem is. It doesn't line up with scripture. And if it doesn't line up with scripture, it's going to lead you astray. And the same way with the false teaching that came up after Brother Jackson passed away, we couldn't just go along with it. We couldn't go along with it on the colony. Why would we all of a sudden compromise and go along with these false teachings here? So we had to separate ourselves, and the things that we have experienced and saw, we can speak on it now, how the devil works and what he uses. He doesn't use just ordinary people. He uses people in the pulpit, and that's why we can say what John Hagee really is. Like, sure, he does a lot of good for Israel and stuff like that, but behind it all still is deception.
Amen to that. And there's a lot of good people there. It's going to have an effect, but it's not going to produce people that are bright, quality, bright people. They will not go into that bridal chamber. They'll not go into that rapture. He's just deceiving these people, thinking they'll go in that rapture. They'll go up somewhere else. They'll come in after, once they see that rapture happening and they realize they missed it, and they'll come up. A lot of them will come up and end up on that sea of glass, but they're going to have to give their life for it. And like I say, there's a lot of serious people. They claim to be Christian. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Maybe some of them, I'm sure some of them are. But see, God has a place for them too. But they're not in this chapter, in this channel that you and I are in, with his God sent a prophet, and then he produced a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that whole Grace Age was all about. And if you miss that, if you miss the fact that God sent a prophet and the church age to lead us here, to dress us so that we stand not naked before the Lord, then you miss the whole point of this whole being. This is what this ministry is doing, Brother Brent, Brother Jake. That's why we're working overtime to sustain it, to keep it alive. That's been given our lot in life. That's our job, is to hold on to the truth, to the things that we have been given, that the very scripture that the Lord gave you, hold on to the things that you've been taught, and don't let them go, just hold on to them, and that's exactly what we're doing. And then, like we said over and over again, he gave me the vision about Gideon, and then he gave me the minefields, what you're going to do with the ministry of Brother Benham, and the reason is the Lord brought you and I together to hold on to this truth. That's what we're doing. That's our commission. And the next commission is to expose these religious systems, what they are. That's what we're doing every day, and we're doing our best to stay faithful and true so that someday we will be able to go into that rapture, into that bridal chamber where he has. That's why we're working overtime to do that. We're obedient to the Lord, and we're just like we're doing our level best to try to endure to the end, because it's a pretty tight thing. And like I say, the John Hagee people, and that they will never go into that, because they never tell you about Brother Ben. Not one thing that he say about God, Malachi 4. They'll never go there. Neither will they go there and tell you the day and hour that we're living in. You'll only hear it here, the day and hour we're living in. We can give you right to the day when Jesus will come down and tie up Satan. We can tell you that, and we can tell you exactly to the day when that day of the Lord will come, because it's immediately after the tribulation of those days. You can do the math. You can put it on your calendar. From October the 15th, 2021, you can count 7 years. You can break it down into 1,260 days, and then you put it into 42 months, and you'll come exactly right to the beginning of the day of the Lord. Then you got 30 days. And then once the 30 days are done, you got the separation of the goats and the sheep. These are mortal people that are going to be separated. These people, it says, I was hungry and you fed me. You came to prison to visit me. It just doesn't mean that you have to go out there and feed the hungry and go to prison. It means your attitude towards, like you were reading the other day about what Joseph told the people to do good, you know. You should maybe read that, to tell people what God is going to be required at that separating time when he separates the goats and the sheep. These are the things that he's going to look for. He told him, Joseph, yeah, told Joseph, go out and tell the people to do that. And the people that are going to be doing that, they're the people that are going to go into life eternal, and the people that support that Hamas thing, and the Democrats, and evil, and wickedness, and the terrorists, they're going to go into that lake of fire just 3 years from now. So it's all just 3 years away from now, when all this thing will come to fruition. It's all in the Bible. We're just reading it. We're just telling people what's happening, what's coming up the road here.
Mm-hmm. And then they think that if they know Greek, they can know the Bible better, like they can interpret everything. But Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson, they didn't have to learn no Greek, but you will never find anyone that would even compare to Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson when it came to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how people think that you have to be learned of this world in order to understand the Word of God.
They were not learned in a seminar. In fact, they wouldn't let Brother Jackson preach in the Methodist Church simply because they would not allow you to be a preacher unless you spend a certain amount of years in a seminar.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he didn't have to go to a seminar, neither did Brother Branham. And then they just were coached by God, mm-hmm. by the Holy Spirit. And see, these people, before they can preach, they got to go to a seminar. That John Hagee had to go to a seminar to teach them how to deceive people.
Mm-hmm.
But see, just up the road here with our lifetime, with people that doesn't go in the rapture, they're going to see the separating of the sheep and the goats. And they're going to see the goats go into that lake of fire. Just that simple. And the sheep, they'll go into life eternal. They'll go into that millennium, right? They'll go into the millennium as mortals. That's why these 144,000 and that woman of Revelation and that and the sheep people, they're all mortals. They have eternal life. They're going to need a sun. They're going to need the environment. They're going to still be driving cars in the millennium. They're going to be doing all that. And it's not going to happen all of a sudden, because it's only at the end of the millennium that everything will be complete. Only at the end of the millennium there'll be no more sea. There'll be no more Pacific Ocean. You're going to be able to drive down to the all these things, to the Titanic. You're going to be able to go down there and like I say, you'll still be driving cars, maybe somehow electric cars, I hope, maybe. God, that's why the Lord moved on us to go buy an electric car, because it's not going to be magic like I used to think. Just God's going to snap his fingers and everything will snap into the millennium all of a sudden. No, it's a process. It's an age of regeneration. But here, what's just up the road here, you see the thing under Trump, getting rid of corruption, getting rid of the drug addict, getting rid of all this filth. And it's only just going to multiply and multiply. Because Jesus is now off the seat of mercy. He's down here as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's no more as a high priest. He's now King of Kings. He's evolved now into King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to be on there till after the millennium. And just that simple. See, you and I, we have the whole counsel of God. We can tell people exactly what's coming. And we're not afraid of it, what's coming. Because it says here, just to praise the Lord for it, because mm-hmm. there's nothing else you can do except praise the Lord.
That's right. So I'll kind of read it a little here in 2 Chronicles 19. Jehoshaphat commanded them, carry out your duties with respect for the Lord, with honesty and with pure motives. Whenever your countrymen who live in the city bring a case before you, whether it involves a violent crime, or other matters related to the law, commandments, rules, and regulations, warn them that they must not sin against the Lord. If you fail to do so, God will be angry with you and your colleagues, but if you obey, you will be guilt-free. So he went throughout all the land there, and he told them to respect the Lord and make careful decisions for the Lord, disapproves of injustice, partiality, and bribery. So
that's exactly what happened under that by the administration, corruption, that they turn the legal system against the citizenry, against the Christians, against people that were trying to live upright. They turn them completely against them. That's exactly what they were advised here by Joseph not to do.
Mm-hmm.
They did exactly the opposite. And now they're going to, these are the people that's going to go into that lake of fire. There won't be, it's just up the road here, just 3 years from now. Because you and I, we have been given the revelation of the midnight cry. We have been given the time and the day and the hour that you and I are now living in. And it's going to, people are just going to bump right into it because God cannot change his word. He made a program. He made a blueprint way back before the foundation of the world. And he put everything down as a time frame where it's going to happen. There came a time when that came a flood and people, they just bumped right into it because the time has come when that had to happen. And there came a time when that angel came to Mary, when the fullness of time had come. God is so respectful for time that when the time came, there stood that angel with that virgin girl and told her what's going to happen. And that was the just at the fullness of time.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus came, and he was that promised thing that God promised to Adam and Eve. And he said, I'm going to send somebody that's going to make everything right. And there was the beginning of it. And then he had to go to the cross and all that stuff. And when Jesus was there, he was that vessel that God chose before the foundation of the world to bring mankind back to himself again. It's just for you and I, it's so simple that you kind of wonder and amaze why people don't see it. Because
mm-hmm.
it's all in the scripture. But God has chosen you and I to do this very thing, to bring a truth to the people, to hold on to the things that we have been taught. That's why we always keep going back to these church letters and messages, to these seven angels, to these seven stars that God is going to use throughout the grace age. And we just happen to be here in the seventh and church age of Laodicea, which is the seventh, and we happen to hear in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Their brother Benham was just the voice. He had to obey that angel. He always said, I gotta wait for my angel before he start preaching. You may wonder why I'm having light talk, but I have to wait till that angel shows up. And then that angel shows up, and then he anointed them to do the things he did, to preach the things he did. And the same with Brother Jackson. That angel was just using his vocal cord, and now we're just continuing on, holding on to the things that we have been taught.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting them out there to the best of our ability.
That's
best
right.
We can do.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to read a little bit more here for Joseph. He lived in Jerusalem. He went out among the people from Beersheba to the hill countries of Ephraim and encouraged them to follow the Lord God of their ancestors. So he encouraged them. That's all we're doing. Encouraging people and telling them what God has been doing.
Yeah.
And who God is and what he requires of man. That's all we're doing, is what Joseph has said here. And we want to keep it alive because God has done great things in this century, in the 1900s and downward, because he was restoring the faith of the early church, and it brought us right to it, the Lord. And that's what our job is to make sure that we teach it to other people.
That's why he's so good to us. That's why we have it so good. It wasn't always like that, like I say. It was put in the outs, not knowing where you're gonna sleep that night, because what they did, when they terminated me, I had to work it for the neighbor, and they didn't want to the neighbor, if you have anything to do with Sam, you cannot come on Hutterite property. And then I went to church with the splats, and I went and told them, if you have anything to do with Sam, you cannot build more barns for the Hutterites. And things like that. Everywhere they had their hands in. And then I went to Alberta. And then I say that the ex-Hutterite's place. And they went to his parents. Told to kick me out because, everywhere they could. They tried to stop me. But the Lord always had an open door. I didn't depend on them. I know they were nothing but a bunch of terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And a sense of the word. Really, they're operating just like Hamas is operating. If you don't follow their doing. If you don't agree with them, they'll put you in the outs and do everything they can. They're very ruthless and cruel because Isaiah keeps saying, I was in their torture chambers. I had to go through their torture chambers. I know what they're about now today. I can tell you what they're about. It's nothing but agents of Satan. I sure hate to say that, but I have to do that to expose that thing for what it is. Now that we're standing up on the mountain, looking back, we can actually see exactly what's going on out there. And we're the only two people that'll tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. People that'll kind of hint at it now and then. But we're telling you the absolute truth, what this is all about. I'm going to pray.
Heavenly Father, we want to come before you, give you thanks for everything you've done us to, for us, Lord, where you brought us out, you kindled that fire, and you set our feet on a solid rock, Lord. You pulled us out of the miry clay, and we just want to give you thanks. We just want to be able to do what you called us to do. Help us to be found faithful. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.